Father, I just truly do thank you for this night and this beautiful day. And Father God, I just thank you for the work you began during praise and worship. And I know, God, that there's still a perfect work you want to do in each and every one of your children. So I invite the Holy Spirit to continue the work right now. Work upon each and every child of God that sits here this night. Do the perfect work, Father, where we will not go backwards, but we will continually go forward in your name. And Father, we thank you that we are bold and we're not going to back down to the enemy ever again, but we're going to stand strong and we're going to be strong towers that others can run into, and we can bring them the same hope that your son Jesus brought us on the cross. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this night, Coming to God. God's been calling us into intimacy with him, and I still know that people don't have an intimate relationship with the Father. They have maybe a 90% intimacy, but not 100% intimacy. And I do know that the body of Christ is still walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. And the only way you're going to find out tonight, the only way you can have a true intimate walk with God is to be walking in the spirit. Be filled with the spirit, walking in the spirit, and get out of your flesh. And that's the only way it's going to happen. Let's read Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Now, who was he talking to? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, right? Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. How did he make them? According to his likeness. So he looks just like you and I. He's not a monkey, not a dog or a cat. He said, make him in their likeness. Then he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So he said he's going to make us in his image, and we were to have dominion, right? Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 through 7 tells us, this is a history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So in those days there wasn't rain. All right. Verse 7, and the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, if you look at this, he created all things, but man he formed out of the dust of the ground. All right. The other things he spoke into existence. Now, God has been speaking to us and telling us that we must have a personal, intimate relationship with him. How do we have that intimate relationship with our Father? The only way we can have a personal, intimate relationship with the Father is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that in addition to the human side of man, there is a God side of man. After God created all things, God wanted someone else to rule over his creation, earth, so he created man. The only way the Holy Spirit will come in and dwell within the believer is if he is invited. So God wanted man to rule over the earth, but the man had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only way that the Holy Spirit will come in and dwell within the believer is if he is invited. And Luke 11:13 says, if you then, Jesus speaking, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Those who ask him. Some say, I don't believe in the Holy Spirit, and I don't need the Holy Spirit to serve God. You've heard that. If you've been around anybody, you've heard that. And John 16:7 says, Jesus speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, and he was speaking to the disciples. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus went on to say, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit, like Jesus only did what he heard the Father say, and the Holy Spirit only says what the Father tells the Holy Spirit to say. Verse 14, Jesus says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, you have to understand that the disciples were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. And God said the only way they were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit is if he went away. All right? Jesus was the only one that was filled with the Holy Spirit at that point. None of the disciples. Mark 13:11 says, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So many people sit around and say, well, you know, and you ponder, what am I going to say to this person? What am I going? How am I going to react? You don't need to do that. You just need to say, Holy Spirit, you know what I'm going to encounter, and I need you to be there and speak through me so I don't mess up. All right? And John 14:15 says, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The world does not understand the Holy Spirit. The world cannot see the Holy Spirit. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can take this, you go to the people and you let the Holy Spirit speak through you. You should never, a child of God should never do anything unless he asks the Holy Spirit to be present. And you give your tongue over to the Holy Spirit and say, I only want to speak what you have to say. This is where we get in trouble. We always want to say what we want to say. Because after all, we know better than God does, or the Holy Spirit. We know what kind of tongue lashing they need. And you don't like it when the Holy Spirit doesn't give them that tongue lashing. You don't like when the Holy Spirit's really super nice to them. Amen? That's true. Our John 14:25, Jesus speaking again. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You all know that when I was first born again, God told me, I don't want you to go to Bible school. I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. And that's how I learned what I know thus far. And everything I learn every day is because of the Holy Spirit teaching me. All right? It's not you teaching me. It's not some other pastor teaching me. And even when I read other pastor's sermons or I read other prophetic words, I need the Holy Spirit to confirm to me that that is true. And you should be the very same way. Luke 1:11 said, then an angel, this is not Jesus speaking, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and then Zacharias saw him. He was troubled, and fear fell upon him. This is where John the Baptist's father, all right? And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you should call his name John. The reason why Isaiah is named on his name, because God told me he's going to have, James is going to have a son, and this is what I want him to call him. So that's what Jimmy did. He called him exactly what God told him to call him. And here you see, Zechariah was told the same thing. And verse 14 says, and the angel speaking, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That's the point I'm going to get at. Some are filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. It is a job of the Holy Spirit to dwell within the believer in fullness, to form the character and nature of the life of Christ within the person. Some of you sitting in here tonight, you might have been filled with the Spirit in the womb. But because nobody was around to tell you, you didn't know that. My mother said to me when I was born, she said, you were so different than any child I had out of the six children, and you were always different. I feel that I was born with the Spirit. You know, I had the Holy Spirit in the womb. And I won't go into the detail of what God told me about that, but I know that's the truth. Some of you need to find out, did you have the Holy Spirit in the womb? But see, when I came out, I had a godly grandmother, and she made sure, she said to my mother, she has to be in church every time the church door is open. So she took me, my grandmother took me to church every time the church door was open. I feel like my grandmother died when I was 9, I believe. And I believe my grandmother was filled with the Holy Spirit, and God instructed her how to raise me. God instructed me how to raise Jimmy, and now he's instructed me how to raise Gabriel and Isaiah. Are you understanding this? You guys need to be checking out your life. What is God telling you to do with your children? And are you doing it? All right? All right, God's love and affection for man is clearly understood by man. Today, because of his desire for an object of his love and affection. All right. God's love and affection for man is clearly understood by man today because of his desire for an object of his love and affection. Why did God create Adam? Because God saw that Adam was lonely. Well, God created man because he just wanted man to be created. But then what my question should have been is, why did he create Eve? He saw that Adam was lonely, and Adam needed somebody to talk to, so he gave him a blabbermouth wife. Right? Come on. Why do you want to get married? You want to get married because you want to have somebody share your life with, right? You want somebody to talk to. You just want somebody where you can share your intimate thoughts to. And this is why God created us. He wants us to come and talk to him because he desires us. He loves us. And he loves our voices. And he wants fellowship with us. Instead of you getting all upset, why don't you just go and say, Father, I'd just like to sit and talk to you. I'm telling you, God waits for you to talk to him. I know he does. And when you don't, it hurts his heart. So why are you not having sweet fellowship with the Father? Why are you letting him out of your day-by-day routine? You know, just like, you know, if you're on a job, you know, let's just say Aaron delivers mail, and he should be in his car saying, Father, I would really like to talk to you right now. Can you and I have some sweet communion? And then just start talking to him and just see what he says back. I can guarantee you he's just going to be so happy, you know, God is, that you won't be able to stand him. But we don't do that. We just go in our car going down and run, all right, now, God, how am I going to be a praise and worship leader? All right, God, you know, give me a song. Help me write a book. Don't do that. Let him know how much you love him. Just have sweet communion with him. So then God is creating a bride from the body of Christ on earth. We are his bride, and he's creating us. But we cannot be a bride to him unless we're having sweet fellowship with him. We can't. That's why you have so many divorces. You know, don't really have brides or grooms. You know, you just have two people wanting to connect for a half hour, and then I'm done. You know? And that's not right. Now, a worthy and suitable... All right, God is creating a bride from the body of Christ on earth, a worthy and suitable object for his love and affection in intimate relationship with him. In intimate relationship with him. We are to be a helpmate to God. We are supposed to be working with God. You are here on assignment from God. And I know you're all that, and then some, and you don't need anybody to tell you what your assignment is, because after all, you're... got it together. No, you need to have sweet fellowship with God so he can tell you how to work out your assignment. I ask Mary, God, how do you want me to do with this church? What do you want me to do? And you'll give me some, you know, sometimes I'll be doing something, you'll give me somebody's name and say, okay, God, what are they doing? What do you want me to know so I can pray? See what I'm saying? He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to tell you how to fulfill your assignment. But because you won't have fellowship with him, he can't tell you how to fulfill your assignment. And then you fail, and then you say, oh, well, God didn't want me to do that at all. Yes, he did. You just didn't ask him to lead, guide, and direct you in how to fulfill that assignment. Now, to consider experiencing pure intimacy with God, we must move our thinking from the natural realm to the spiritual. From the natural realm to the spiritual. The natural or physical is only a picture of the spiritual. We can only do that by the Holy Spirit. All right, let me just use this as an example. If God tells, okay, he says to these people, I want you to have a telephone conversation. I mean, telephone thing, Bob, and I want you to pray about the situation. Well, you pray for 5 minutes, and the next hour or two, you discuss. That's not what God wanted you to do. He wanted you to get on the phone. He wanted you to pray and listen. And then if he says something, write it down. He doesn't want you to assume, well, this and this and this. No, that's why you don't know what God wants done, because you assume what God wants to say. A lot of you know, if you're talking to me and ask me to pray with you, I say I'm not hearing anything, and so we might as well just hang up. I'm not going to sit there and assume what God was wanting us to hear. Are you understanding this? Many people call me for prayer because they have a question out there before God. And if I don't hear nothing, I'll say to them, I'm sorry, we've talked now for 5 minutes. I'm not hearing anything. The Holy Spirit's not moving. So let's hang up. I'll pray about it. And then when God speaks to me, I'll call you back. Because anything I say from this point on is me. And it's not going to help you at all, because I don't know what you need. This is the way I operate. And that's the way you should operate. You know, if you want to be a psychologist, then go get an office, put up your little shingle, and have people come in and you charge them $50 an hour and sit there and listen and say, well, this is what I think you should do. But we're not that. We're children of God. We're vessels of honor that the Holy Spirit should be working through, leading, guiding, and directing people. All right? Let's go to Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. Now, Jesus went out to where John the Baptist was baptizing. And the Bible says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Jesus, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Jesus went to where John the Baptist was, and he got baptized. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, if Jesus had to do that, what makes you think you don't? Jesus had to do that for his ministry to start. So if he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit before his ministry start, why are you out there walking in the flesh, being a carnal Christian with no Holy Spirit, trying to minister to people? Everybody in this room needs to ask themselves that question. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 said, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, from the river, and being baptized. Let's read it again. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit after being baptized, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. We know what happened in the wilderness. We probably might read it, I'm not sure. He was, the devil tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I can guarantee you that if you're not filled with this, if he wouldn't have been filled with the Spirit, he would not have been able to stand those 40 days and 40 nights of temptation. But because he had the Holy Spirit was leading, guiding, and directing him. In John 4, 24, Jesus says, God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him, must worship in spirit and truth. God is Spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. You know why you can't, when you read the Bible, you don't understand the Bible? Because you haven't invited the Holy Spirit to come and read the Bible with you and to explain it to you. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the truth's going to start jumping off those pages and you're going to understand what the Bible is saying to you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, Jesus and his disciples, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said. And then Jesus said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water. That's all John did. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When they got dunked in the Jordan River, that's all they did was they got dunked. But then Jesus said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit now, when he went to the upper room. Now, when we do baptisms, we always pray and believe God that when they go down and come up, they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We always see a manifestation of them being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think there's only one or two people we've ever baptized that we know did not receive the Holy Spirit when they got baptized. All right, so if you ever get baptized again anywhere, you need to say, Father, I want to come up out of that water fully baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been baptized more than one time? Every church you ever go to, you got to get baptized. You dunk, 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 dunk. And I never received anything but a dunk. But one day, I received the Holy Spirit. And I'm hearing God say, and fire. Because he always baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and fire. They go together. Now, so verse 6 says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Jesus saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which your Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. He said, don't be concerned about all the other stuff. He said, this is what you're going to receive. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. With the Holy, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, people are going to take notice of what you're saying and doing. And the enemy's going to know it, and he's going to flee. He's not going to keep coming back, tripping you up. He's going to go. All right? We are spirit beings that live in a body and have a soul. We are transformed into the character and nature of Christ by the Holy Spirit only. Only pure, holy righteousness can come together intimately with God. That's why God keeps telling us we have to walk in righteousness and we have to be holy. It is in Christ, by the Holy Spirit, that we become intimate with our Heavenly Father. The process of coming to God in intimate relationship involves seeking Him with our whole hearts. This will require growing in faith through changing the focus of our hearts and lives from the things of this world. The process of coming to God in intimate relationship involves seeking Him with our whole hearts. This will require growing in faith through changing the focus of our hearts and lives from the things of this world. This is repentance from dead works, a turning from natural fallen human living toward abundant spiritual living. I'm going to tell you, if you're really full of the Holy Spirit, God will do awesome things to you and through you and around you. I was just sitting the other day just studying, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just filled the room, and I started crying, and God said, "Daughter, I see all things in your heart." And then I really broke. And then He started telling me what was going on with me. And that was exactly what was going on with me. I didn't ask Him about it. I didn't even pray about it. I just knew where I was at. And He came and talked to me about it. And then He explained why I was in that spot. That's what true intimacy with God is all about. He wanted me to understand why I was having what I was having. And then He told me what I would have to do so that the enemy didn't take me out. Y'all got intimate with the devil when you were serving him, boy. You listened to everything he said and you did everything he told you to do, and then some. So why can't you get intimate with it if you're really born again? Why can't you really get intimate with the Father and allow Him to lead and guide and direct you in all truth? There is an awesome God just waiting to live inside redeemed, restored people of God who are filled with and walk in the Spirit. And that's why I told you what I encountered, because that's when I wrote that. There's an awesome God just waiting to live inside redeemed, restored people of God who are filled with and walk in the Spirit. Some of you encounter the same things I do with God, but I'm the pastor, so you just have to wait until you get your point to tell your people. All right. You're simply saying, "Well, I've had the same experience." That's wonderful. Write it in a book, or wait till God puts you out there, He'll put you out there so you can give your story. Barbara, she can tell it to the glow, you know. You see what I'm saying? I know I'm not the only one experiencing this stuff, but you guys don't know all you need to know about the Holy Spirit, and God's trying to get you there so He can use you. I'm sorry, guys. No, I'm not sorry. When the glory drops and all of its fullness, if you're not, don't have the Holy Spirit in you, if you're not having Him to walk with God, He's not going to use you. I'll guarantee that right now. So, it's up to you. What are you going to do with your walk with God? Are you going to become intimate, totally intimate? You going to try to live somebody else's anointing? Or are you going to walk in the truth that God has shown you, and are you going to walk in the life that God has prepared for you? Because, you know, your personality is different from mine, thank God. And, you know, He uses your personalities, right? So let Him use your personality. Let him put you in front of people that need to hear the word the way you give it, because He only places in front of you people that can understand you. And then He uses the Holy Spirit in you to bring them to the cross. All right. By believing Luke 11:13, we can become sons of God, worthy of intimately relating as sons to our Heavenly Father and as a bride to our Lord Jesus Christ. And Luke 11:13, which we read at first, says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Then I said, by believing Luke 11:13, we can become sons of God, worthy of intimately relating as sons to our Heavenly Father and as a bride to our Lord Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit upset about the way the the government, the governors and everything else has manipulated and controlled the churches. How dare they come against the children of God? How dare they try to shut us off from our Father in heaven and each other? Well, you can hold a church if you sit 6 feet apart. You can go in the restaurant and eat as long as you sit 6 feet apart. Don't get intimate. They're destroying intimacy is what they're doing. If you married people are going to have sex, you have to have your bed 6 feet apart. Because if not, you're going to get the coronavirus, you know. That's what they're saying. Then finally said, well, since you're family, you can't sit together in church. Because after all, you live together. Aren't you understanding how dumb this whole thing is? And well, what God had told me when it started, he said, the devil has been, he said, pandemic is coming to Delaware, he said. And he said, the devil's been behind the scene working, and now he's come to the front, and he's going to give it everything he has. So that's what he did, didn't he? And I'm still surprised at how some pastors, you know, just cowered, just lay down and just let the devil do whatever he wanted to do. You know, we needed to be praying. We still need to be praying. You know, if you're having intimacy with God, but then he's telling you how to pray. He's telling you exactly what is happening. And we don't need to bow to the enemy. We need to pray. We're not going to go out there in the street and cause a riot. We're going to pray. And we're going to break that devil's back. And that devil has to let this thing loose altogether. I'm not satisfied with what he's done thus far. I want him totally destroyed. I want to be able to get in my car and go out here and sit in the park if I want to and laugh and carry on if everybody comes by. You know, I'm not a beach person anymore. I used to be, but if I go to the beach, I don't want them to tell me, okay, you have to sit 6 feet apart now. You can't eat any food on the beach. After all, you'll cause the virus to start and spread. Come on. It's a whole bunch of junk. Okay, what did Jesus tell us in John 14:26? Jesus said, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. You know, if you read the word, you don't even have to understand it, really. Just have it down in there. And when God wants to, or the Holy Spirit wants to, they'll yank it up and they'll have you say it. You know, well, I might as well not read it. I don't understand it. Read it. Get it down in there. Because when God needs to use it, he'll pull on it. If you don't have anything down there for him to pull on, then he can't. But if you have that word down inside of you, believe me, he's going to pull on it and use it when he needs to. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus, well, you know, they tormented Jesus. They come against Jesus all the time. They was always wanting to kill him, right? They was always trying to find fault with him. And one time it says Jesus quietly just snuck away and disappeared. You know, it always tickles me with David how he, you know, he hid in the cave. He pretended like he was mad, foamed at the mouth. David did all kind of things to escape from the enemy. And he had God on his side, right? And as I was reading the Old Testament, I see where there was men in the Old Testament who were filled with the Spirit too. It talks about that. I was going to type it up and I forgot it. But so the Holy Spirit has been around since day one, since earth was created. The Holy Spirit has not taken leave of anything. It's the Holy Spirit that came after Jesus died. And that's the reason why God told me about 10 years ago, maybe longer now, that he was removing healing from the body of Christ because they were walking all over the Holy Spirit. They were mocking the Holy Spirit, so he was just going to take the Holy Spirit out of the scene. And then you wouldn't have the Holy Spirit to do the healing because you're not doing the healing, Dodo. Right? You're just a vessel that's saying, be healed in Jesus' name. And if the Holy Spirit's there, then that person's going to be healed. But God told me, so I took it away because they were mocking my Holy Spirit. They don't believe in my Holy Spirit. Therefore, I'll take him. And if you've ever walked in the Spirit and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's not there, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's not a good thing. It is not. I know the day that God took the Holy Spirit out of my home. And the only place the Holy Spirit was in my office. It was terrible to walk my office into the rest of the house and feel the barrenness there. But he wasn't going to have his Holy Spirit being mocked at my home either by other people who lived there. So he just left it in my study, period. The Holy Spirit is very real. You cannot function without him. Now you might be out there healing somebody, but you're doing it in a psychic realm. I know people who can prophesy, or you have even called and told me things that are going on. And I said, God, I know they're not living for you. How are they doing this? And how they know this? He said, the psychic realm. So then I knew how to go on from there. And if you've been born again and living for God 100%, and you have the gifts, God gives you the gifts, then you backslide. God said he never takes the gift away. Because I knew a person who was really doing things they shouldn't do. I mean, really doing things they shouldn't do. And I said, God, how can they do this and they're doing this? He said, because I never take the gifts. Then he explained to me how this person was saved one time, living for him 100%, had the gifts in operation, but then decided to go back into sin, and the gifts were still there. Why does God tell you to check out the fruit? You could be deceived if you don't check out the fruit. Somebody could be doing healings, but is doing healings in the psychic realm and are not God's child no more. I mean, they're backslidden. They could come back, but at that point, they're not. There's so much to have an intimacy with God, and you just can't walk willy-nilly however you like to walk. You have to be lined up with the Word of God. And when you're lined up with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will work through you and the Holy Spirit will do great and mighty things. God's getting ready to drop that glory drop. And whenever he does, you're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit or you won't know the glory dropped. Remember a couple years ago, maybe five now, God said, use the scripture saying, beware lest when you teach to others, you yourself fall. You could be teaching the truth to somebody else and you don't realize that you've slowly slid away from God and you're not even in God's hands anymore and you fall. That's a scary thing. To me, it's a scary thing. And ever since the day God told me that, I checked myself. Oh, God, don't let me be one of those who's teaching your word of truth, but yet I'm not there anymore. Now, do you really want true intimacy with God or don't you? God's been leading us up to this great glory drop time here in the last couple of sermons, teachings he's been giving us. Have you been taking them into your spirit? Have you really been checking yourself out? Are you making sure that you are one that's worthy to walk intimately with the Father? Obedience. Obedience. This is where it all is at. Obedience to God and what he's asking you to do. What he wants you to do right now, I'm just hearing him say, he wants you right now to take time, search your hearts. The place that you know you're in disobedience, he wants it right now. He wants it tonight. And then he doesn't want you to go back into disobedience in that area ever again. Father, Holy Spirit, right now, you be active in each one of their lives and you show them where they've been in disobedience. Stir deep within them, Holy Spirit. Activate the truth and let them understand where they're at. And Father, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I give you all honor and all glory right now. Angelic hosts, come. Minister to the people as the Holy Spirit stirs deep within them. And that's why when you do deliverance, every time a spirit comes out, you always say, I feel that void right now where that spirit was. I fill it with the Holy Spirit. I send the Holy Spirit down into that void. so that that person ends up being filled with the Holy Spirit instead of just empty spots in them where the devil can come back and rehabitate there. I thank you for it, Father. Father God, you're just telling me there's some that's watching tonight that they've been under a strong attack of the enemy. And Father God, right now I'm obeying your voice and I'm sending the Holy Spirit into that situation. I'm sending the angelic host to help root those spirits of oppression out of them, Father God, and set them free right now. Let the Holy Spirit bring life where there was death. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for it. And God says to me to tell you, when you are obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And when you are disobedient, you will walk under the curse. So tonight, he wants you to walk under total obedience so that he can allow you to eat the good of the land from this point on. And he's saying the Holy Spirit's just stirring deep within you right now, just stirring and stirring and stirring, just stirring everything up to bring it to the surface so that God can grab it out of you right now and set you free. We thank you for your freedom in our people right now, Father. We thank you for it, Father.